You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Okay, so yesterday we had Abashlali Basem Jondolo on the show. We also had Crispin Peary on the show. And Abashlali was complaining about evictions that had happened over the weekend. Crispin, as the Department of Justice spokesperson, said that he would do his best off-air to try and help them out. I wanted to check in to see what has happened to this particular story, because I promised you that I would do so. And I've also asked the eThekwini municipality to please make available someone that can give their perspective, because that's important just in terms of ethical journalism. So I want to just say good morning to a couple of people in this conversation, and we'll take it one step at a time. Firstly, the president of Abashlali, Subu Zakore, is back with us. Subu, good morning, and thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Good morning to you, and good morning to all the listeners, and thank you for having me.
Also with us is the municipal spokesperson for the eThekwini municipality, Msawake Maisela. Good morning to you as well, and thank you so much for coming on the program.
Very good morning to you and to all the listeners of 702.
Subu, I'm going to start with you. Our listeners are familiar with what happened. You had described evictions. On your version, they were unlawful. Your lawyers at the Socioeconomic Rights Institute had sent a letter to the eThekwini municipality. It did not result in the desired outcome from your perspective. Since we last spoke, what happened after 12 o'clock yesterday, if anything?
Well, after we spoke yesterday, I'm sure the listeners would care with us. Immediately when we finished the interview, the eThekwini municipality was busy attacking two settlements. Again, yesterday, one was the Azania, where four people had to be rushed to the hospital because they were severely beaten, and one is at a very critical condition as we speak. Blood was spilled all over the settlement. And then the second settlement was again Ekuphumeleleni, the very same settlement that was attacked on the very first day of the lockdown on Friday, and they returned back on Sunday. And yesterday, as we were speaking here with you, they were busy beating up people and evicting people without the court order, in full disregards for the national directives that the evictions have to stop. And people were left homeless. And I must say that people had rebuilt, of course, with the very same material that was damaged because they had nowhere to go. But again, the city, through its Calvin Security and Land Invasion Unit, were very heartless. And we must say that we are really disappointed about the ongoing. So these two settlements became the battle zone, the war zone yesterday. There was blood all over. And we don't think there's any reason to justify killing because already Abashlali have lost 18 activists who have been killed either by the eThekwini municipality's land invasion unit, the metro police, and for too long we've been, you know, getting people in the informal settlement killed with impunity.
Okay, let's get the municipal spokesperson for the eThekwini municipality a chance to respond. I am, as I'm sitting here and listening to Subu, Msawake, looking at video footage of these men and also some of the photos, and I must say, unless my eyesight has gone crazy, they seem to me more like thugs than anything else. What's your version?
No, look, I wasn't there when these structures were demolished by Eusebius, but what I can tell you, based on the information that I have at my disposal, is that the shacks that were demolished were shacks that were being built with the shacks that were not occupied. Because under no circumstances shall we demolish shacks that have got people inside. Let me just make an example for you. Right now, we've got about 4,000 people that have been housed in eThekwini, that have been provided with shelter, with three hot meals a day, who are homeless all over the city because of COVID-19. And then the big question, why would we then stoop that low and go demolish shacks that have got people inside? So I've got a concern, a very serious concern about this one, that Abashlali Basem Jondolo, they seem to be taking an advantage of the plight that the country is currently experiencing to advance their own agenda with an intention of ruining the image of the city. It's not correct, because in the event that we are evicting, I mean, let's say that it's shacks that are occupied, we have to go to court. We need to get an eviction order from the court. And once we have got that eviction order, we also have got a prescription by the court as to how should we carry that eviction. We don't simply just go there and evict.
But here's one factual difficulty that you have, though, to contend with, and tell me why this is wrong. Your characterization of them as taking advantage of COVID-19 might pass someone who doesn't pay attention to the news. I'm not that person. The reality is there's a history of your municipality doing this for many, many years. One can write a book, and many left-wing academics have chronicled the years and years and years of lack of legality with how the municipality responds to Abishlali, which is why, embarrassingly for our country, if you want to talk about taking advantage and of embarrassment, one of the most embarrassing things about the name Abishlali is that it is globally used as a case study of a social movement that is routinely being bruised and battered by a municipality in a democratic state called South Africa. This thing has got years, years, years of history behind it. They didn't wake up over the weekend and decided to take advantage of COVID-19. You know that.
I'm of the opinion that whatever that we're doing it within the ambit of the law. In the event that Abahlali have got conclusive evidence to the effect that people have been harassed, I mean, they must go and open the case. If they, like Swu is saying now, people have been beaten yesterday, there was blood everywhere. I mean, take the evidence and go to court, because based on the information that I'm having, Prayuzapias, is that whatever our unit did was within the ambit of the law. The structures that were brought down, the structures that were being constructed, and the structures that were not occupied.
Sabu, surely, okay, let me, I hear you, yeah. Okay. He's got a point. The spokesperson is right, isn't he? If there are rights violations, have you opened a case?
We've been opening cases for too long, and of course, because the municipalities, you know, have been law unto themselves, none of these cases were ever investigated. Here I'm talking about the people who have been killed here. If the person that was assaulted yesterday loses his life today, that would be a 19th person. And 90% of the people who have been killed, we have a strong believe that Etegwini is alleged to have killed those people. And as I speak to you, two councillors of the ANO of the Etegwini municipality are serving life sentence imprisonment. So the history of impunity and killing is known worldwide. And the Etegwini doesn't care about the image of the country, especially at this trying time. Now, if he talks about the law, what has stopped them to go to court and obtain the eviction order before they could act yesterday? Why all their evictions have always been violent and without the court order? He talks about acting within the ambit of the law, but he cannot actually prove that their conduct were within the
It cuts both ways, right? I mean, if you say to Subu, and I get you from a process point of view, if you say to him, go and lay a charge if your rights are violated, equally, can you say now, as a matter of fact, with the whole nation listening, that the evictions carried out, attempted to be carried out over the last couple of days, had a court order underpinning it?
No. Like I said earlier,
is that a no, or is it just a clearing your throat?
I'm responding to your question that when I opened when we started the conversation, I said to you, based on the information that I got from the land invasion unit, is that the structures that were brought down were structures that were not occupied, were structures that were being built, which means that we do not require a court order to do so. But once the structure is occupied, have got people inside, we need to go via court to court a court eviction. And secondly, if Usbu says that they have opened the case and we happen to be there.
But there were people there, because the video evidence shows it. I can send it to you right now. I mean, send me your number. I'll WhatsApp it to you.
Please send it to me in the event.
These were not structures that were being demolished with no people inside it. That is just factually false.
No, it's fine. What I'm saying to you, in the event that that video shows that people were inside, I mean, we are left with no choice but to conduct an investigation. Because if that is the case, it could be that our teams that were executing the eviction may have acted contrary to the law. But I'm saying to you that the information that I got is that the structures that were demolished were structures that were not occupied.
Yeah, but you got the information from the people who are accused of human rights violations. Do you really think someone's going to say to you, yes, dude, violated rights?
To you, if there is evidence that effect, I mean, they will have to face the music.
Yeah, but you're using a lot of... Here's the bottom line, and I need to go to a break after this. You're using 1,000,000,001 conditional statements. You're supposed to be the spokesperson that have facts at your fingertips, not sketching me theoretical examples. You need to be acquainted intimately with the real facts. You've got one version, and you've got a version from the people accused of trampling on other people's rights. Obviously, no one is going to call you up and say, I'm guilty.
Sorry?
No one's going to call you and say, I'm guilty, as the social movement alleges.
Yes. No, I agree with you. That's why I'm saying to you, in the event that there is evidence to that effect, I mean, we're left with no choice but to conduct an investigation.
So why don't you? What's stopping you?
No, that's why I'm saying to you, I'm learning about this now, according to the version that you are communicating to me.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We'll put you back to the producer. Subbu, I'm going to do the same. I'm unconvinced that you are unfamiliar with the facts, but I'm going to share with you some of the evidence that we've got.
Please do that.
I know you're begging. I don't know why, because it's not news to you. You know the facts of Durban better than me in Joburg. We'll send it to you. We'll bring you back on the show after a week, and you can tell us what you have done with your internal investigation.
That's fine. It's fine for you, because I would highly appreciate to have that video, because I don't have it.
Okay. Chop.
I don't have it, to be honest with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Subbu. Thanks for coming on. After this, I'm going to get the view of the spokesperson of the Department of Justice.
In is the new out with socialdistance.co.za.
26 minutes before 10 o'clock, Crispin Piri was listening in on that conversation and the interviews I just conducted with Abishlali and with the Etiquini municipality. And he, of course, is the spokesperson for the Department of Justice. With excellent intentions yesterday, you sought to help Abishlali as a social movement by, as a matter of justice, which is what your political principle needs you to be concerned with, to see where you can help. And that may require two things, working with other departments or, in terms of the cooperative governance model, even working with different spheres of government, Crispin. Good morning to you, firstly, and explain to my listeners broadly your efforts to do precisely that.
Thank you very much, Eusebius. Yes, yesterday we undertook to see, to at least obtain the facts on what has happened in this case. You would recall that how we got to this conversation was the fact that our regulations specify that where a court order has been obtained for an eviction, that eviction would not be able to be effected within this 21-day period. After our telephone conversation, I then proceeded to obtain the facts from Abashal Vasam Jondal, and they expressly then informed me that as we speak currently, or as at the time, evictions were taking place, that there were individuals who were being evicted. I also then proceeded to put this version to Etiquini Municipality, who then in turn gave the version that you had just heard on your show this morning. So, as far as we are concerned, these evictions are not taking place within a court order, which means that Etiquini are probably arguing, as we've heard today, that there were no people on that land. And I think at that stage, then Etiquini have the burden to prove that indeed these evictions, or rather what they're trying to effect is completely within the remit of the law. And that's unfortunately where the inquiry would end for us now, until Etiquini are able to put their case forward. But what is clear for us is that it is not within the process that we had envisioned, which is a court order process. So it's still clear that if you have a court order for an eviction, be rest assured that unfortunately it won't be effected within this 21-day period, because we are, of course, limiting it so far as possible movement. Mm.
As you said yesterday, which was the general point, that it becomes a non-essential service and therefore cannot be given effect to at any rate.
Precisely.
Yeah. A legal point I wanted to clarify. I don't know if you have an answer at your fingertips. Otherwise, you can offline tell me it if you need to source it first. Is if there are structures that don't have people in them, does that give a municipality the right to destroy property without without a court order?
Yeah, yes. If there is indeed a, like we had outlined yesterday from the city of Johannesburg, if there is a view that this is a land invasion taking place, that is per se illegal. And the city would have an obligation to ensure that no land invasions take place during this period. So they would be performing their work in the normal course of their work, precisely. So they would be entitled to remove structures where people aren't in, or structures where there are no people in them.
Okay.
That is within their remit.
Okay, that makes sense. We'll leave it there for today. Crispin, thanks so much for coming back on. And thank you, despite your own busy schedule, to devoting time yesterday to trying to problem solve this. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Crispin Peary, who's the spokesperson for the Department of Justice.